Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and I'm positively back from Philadelphia. I didn't even have a cheesesteak or a pretzel. I did have one of those roast pork up there. We're going to be having a proper crab cake next Friday. We're going to be rejoining the crab cake tour in progress after the World Cup on Friday at Pizza John's in Essex. So we'll see you there. John Allen is coming out. We're saying goodbye to East Point Mall next week. I will have Maryland Treasures lottery tickets to give away at Pizza John's. And we have a whole litany of crab cake tours coming up at Coco's and Costas and State Fair and all sorts of places. This is going to be one of my favorite segments. I just got back from the All-Star Game. Not doing a whole lot of radio this week, if you've listened in. We got the crab cake tour next week on the 24th, and Kenny Cooper was the man I thought of at every turn for England, as well as Donald Trump, because I thought if the Brits showed up on Sunday, win or lose, they were going to crush Trump for even showing up at MetLife Stadium on Saturday, or Sunday, I should say. And I didn't know whether to have him on before England won or lost, and obviously it was in my heart to make this segment sort of what it would mean for England to win. I pay tribute to Billy Ronson last week because I watched a lot of World Cup games with disappointing results. We need a result, he would say. He would just scream. And I was, when the Beckham thing happened and got sent off, I was with Ronson. Coach Cooper joins me from his lovely home that he has made in Dallas. And Mike Marlowe gave me this gift, Coach. Blast yeah. Extra Evening Sun. I want to let you know the love is real. 40 years later, still here for you. Hall of Famer in my heart, as always. And I bled for you. I was in a pub in Richmond, Virginia before a Fix Smithereen show. It was up 1-0 and there were 10. And I was like, this is really going to happen. And then it didn't happen. And, you know, we've been planning this for a little while. Yeah. I'm so sorry. You know, I don't know what else to say to an Englishman. You know, forget Mick Jagger and all the other ones. You're the one that I cry for, my friend.
Well, that's so nice of you to have me on the show. I really appreciate it. My two sons, Kenny Jr. and Joe, and the wife of Kenny, Molly, took me out to Jerry World to see the England game, Croatia, and it was, for me, an emotional experience. There's certain things that happen in your life. It was a bucket list for me to see England play here in Dallas, and at the start, when they say he played God Save Our King, my boy, and stood next to me, I've got my hand over my heart to do when they play the American National Anthem. And we just cried together. And then to see the game, the way it played out, you know, they went on to win. And then, of course, at the end, they play Hey Jude. It was just an incredible emotional experience for me. I will say this, to be fair, I do believe Argentina yesterday was the better team on the day. They've got Messi, who is a special player, as everybody knows, and he showed it. And he showed why he's Messi. But tactically, I don't want to be overcritical of the coach, but as he said in the British newspapers today, he got it wrong. He got it totally wrong. He started substituting and bringing in all defenders, and the Argentinian coach put in offensive players. And that was the answer right there. At one time, they had six guys back on defense in the goal area, and all Argentina was doing was like pushing full court press in there. They couldn't get the ball out.
The lead and the way the lead happened and to hold on to the lead, what is the coaching decision that you thought was in error? Specifically, or, you know, vaguely about defense and offense, yeah. But would it have mattered? I mean, in the end, Argentina was going to bring in offensive play. I mean, England didn't look forceful of getting the second goal. Maybe the one shot, but then after that, it felt like the field turned a little bit, and they were going to be playing defense no matter what. I felt.
Yeah, I will say this: that Pickford, the goalkeeper, made three very, very good saves. There was a time when England went ahead 1-0. They had two chances, boom, boom. If they'd have gone up, you know, 2-0, 3-0, it's a different game. But I thought it was a classical game from a coaching standpoint. I don't particularly like to not critical, but, Yeah, I looked at it and I'm going, oh no, he can't drop everybody back like this. Because you could see he was under so much pressure, it was just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. And I think one of the commentators said, it's just a matter of time. And there was only, what, 10 minutes left. I mean, but it was the Messi show at the end of the day. It's the Messi show. And it'll go on and probably win the MVP of the tournament.
Is he the greatest player you've ever seen, or the greatest? I mean, Pele. But put it into context, because I was trying to explain it to a non-soccer person,
Okay.
his greatness, and as that was happening, the pass happened
Yeah.
literally, and I said that if you don't even need to know the game to know that that was an incredible ball, but more
Yeah.
than that, his greatness in the totality of your lifetime, and you've seen it all.
Well, I will say this because I get asked the question every other day. The greatest player I ever saw, excuse me, greatest player I ever saw play or play with was Pelé. I was fortunate to go on a tour of Europe and Asia with the New York Cosmos. They invited me from the Dallas Tornado when I played down here to go on this tour. So I was around Pelé for 3 weeks. Unbelievable gentleman, incredible gentleman. But as
You
I
played on a team with Pele?
Yes, I played on the New York Cosmos in 1976 on a
I didn't
tour.
even know. I mean, like, I feel like I've known you forever, and I'm sure that when John Hawkins and Bernie Miklas wrote about you and Sandy McKee back in the 80s, they
Oh,
all
yeah.
knew it, and it Chris Thomas and all of that. But I
Yeah.
can't say now, listen, I talked about you when I booked you on. I booked you on earlier in the week, and I literally was watching the All-Star game with some soccer people. Buster Olney was with me, who covered the soccers and covered your contemporary, Ron Newman, who covers baseball now. I talked a little soccer, and Spain was playing France when this was going
Yeah.
on. And I was trying to, you got looked up, you got Googled, because we were trying to figure out the name of the Dallas team. I'm
Yeah.
like, what were the Cosmos, the Diplomats,
The
the route,
tornado.
the
The
tornado.
Dallas tornado. Yeah.
Tornado. Okay, so tell me this Pele story, coach. God, I've never heard this.
Well,
This is beautiful.
I was on the tour for 3 weeks and we traveled all over and finished up actually playing the Japanese national team in Tokyo. But I said to
So you were
people,
in the goal, and Pele was scoring goals in front of you
yeah,
while
he
you
was.
were on the pitch.
Yeah. And I played against him
I don't
because.
know that I've got a better story than that. Unless people play with Michael Jordan, or like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'll tell you this, when I'm asked who is the better player, they're both world-class players, but Pele for me, because being a goalkeeper, that when you thought he was going to shoot, he would pass. When you thought he was going to pass, he'd dribble. So he was totally on balance all the time when you played against him. And he scored some goals on me, not many, thank God. I managed to save a shootout up in New York when we won up there. But there's only one Pele. I mean, will only ever be one Pele. But Messi is a close second, definitely.
All right. Well, I mean, we've settled that. As far as the want for your people and Mick Jagger and all of you who are getting a little older. Now, how old are you? Are you still 29 or are you 30 yet? How old are you?
81.
All right.
81. Can you believe that?
Listen, man, I'm seeing Springsteen and Rick Springfield and Sammy Hagar in their late 70s, early 80s out performing, and it's just a beautiful thing. So I think 80 is like the new 50, to be really honest
Yeah,
with you.
I wish I could say I feel that I'm 80. I feel more like I'm 90 because I've had two hip replacements, two knee replacements, and you're just not the same afterwards, okay? So a few pains here and there physically every day, but mentally I think I'm still pretty sharp.
Well, I think so. And I'm glad you're here. Coach Kenny Cooper is here. If you don't know his voice, leave town, or just get a history lesson. If I have to go through who Kenny Cooper is, but I think of you in the England way of what you brought to my community and soccer and the beautiful game and an indoor game and a funnier game. I was with Micah Bukdal on Monday and Tuesday night in Philadelphia, the one-time GM of the Arrows and one-time roommate of Charles Markwood Ekman, who was telling
Oh, Lordy.
stories of the rabbi
Oh.
and the old days of what you brought to Baltimore, which was your love of the game, which Ronson brought to me with World Cup that I lived through, Pete Carungi and Santino Caranta and people that have been a part of this, and being in this community for years back when Desmond Armstrong and other players had played on teams. Denison Cabral watched Brazil World Cup games with me. I went to Europe in 06 in Germany and went to games with my wife and saw and wore the Team USA jersey against Italy and Czech Republic and seen what it's like on the outside. But you were always trying to preach that 50 years ago. And the one thing that I said to Carungi, and I had him on for a good hour right after the US went out about a week and a half ago, and I didn't have him on before the tournament because he was doing all the things you did, camps, soccer, all that, Essex Community College. You guys are contemporary legend coaches for me from Highland Town to England. And the growth of the game in this country is something that should make you cry, having brought that crazy little round ball that you call football that we called soccer, and you brought it to Dallas, you brought it to Baltimore. You were a business leader, a thought leader in our community, a champion for your people, our people, the American flag, like all of that, and the importance of it and soccer and what it's done, I think, in America from the last World Cup in 94 to you seeing it in Jerry's World 3 weeks ago, right?
Oh, well, that's everything went through my mind. I mean, I came here, what, 56 years ago, and just seeing England play live, and there was a feeling that we've arrived. You know, the game has finally arrived. It's here, the World Cup, the greatest sporting event in the world, highest revenue, highest sponsorship, highest attendance. I mean, it was the thrill of my life. I mean, we'll go down as the thrill of my life when it comes to soccer. But I approached it in Baltimore as a political campaign. Bernie Rodin, God bless him, when I accepted the position back in 70, we went to Houston for 1 year. We did really well. We had a great record. We lost in the final to the New York Arrows. And then he called me and said, Kid, we're moving. And we're going to either Baltimore or Boston, right? It all depends where you want to live. So you make the choice. I said, hey, Bernie. Well, I said, let's do this. Let me go to Baltimore first, which I did. And I got off the plane and I fell in love with the city. And my kids were born there. Yes, I live in Dallas, and because my wife's originally from Dallas. But it's like the Liverpool of England. It really is. You know, it's a port. The people are blue collar, salt of the earth. You know, everybody knows everybody. You go no matter where you go, everybody knows one another. Great food, great restaurant, great seafood. So it was just tailor-made for us. But you know, I used to drive the players. We're gonna go out in the community, we're gonna go here, there, everywhere, we're gonna be seen everywhere, right? And of course, you know, the likes of people like Billy Ronson, I brought him over. He settled here, God bless him, and you know, was an important part of our success. The great Stamenkovic, God bless him, who passed away, and people like
By
Mike
the way,
Stankovic.
Stan the man, I don't want to be too interrupted because I want to keep you going. I explained to my wife that literally when the tournament was happening and we were playing Bosnia Herzegovina and some other of the Baltic kind of countries, I looked up Tito Jozsik and I knew that name from reading John Hawkins and working at the News American during Stan the Man. And I explained to my wife that there was this man who came from Yugoslavia, and I was trying to figure out which country, Croatia, where that would be at this point in the world, geographically, and the wars that happened there, and the lives lost, and these soccer players that were just amazing that you brought to your league. And I said to my wife, he was overweight, he chain smoked, he ate pizza and drank beer, and he was the greatest soccer player I ever saw on the ball, on the foot in that game. That was, I said, they called him the magician. And if you go watch the top 10 videos of him wearing that red and yellow and orange thing that you guys created with Blast Mania, that it was extraordinary. And my father, who thought soccer was not even a thing, it fell in love with your sport. And I told my, and I'll tell anybody, My mother only had a crush. My mother, my mother I lost only had a crush on one man. It was you. My mother
Oh.
loved you. I don't know if you know. I think I've told you this. This isn't a
Yeah.
secret, but my
Yeah.
mother loved you. She would
Oh,
wait on
God bless
Channel
her.
11 for Chris Thomas to talk to you and loved you. So, like, you sold it to people that didn't even understand.
Yeah.
The first time I went down there, we saw the Buffalo team play and
Yeah.
Danny Counts, Paulihan, that first team. My dad didn't even understand what it was, but it said Baltimore on it. And there was this British guy that was bringing this new funky green turf thing. And I liked hockey. And we knew our way to the arena. And
Yeah,
my father fell in love with soccer much more than I did. And my mother fell in love with you. So, like, and here I am all these years later, and we're in love with each other, Coops.
You didn't. She didn't tell your dad I was in love with it,
No. My dad, listen, we loved soccer and we loved your team, and you know that. And Stan the man and the people, and I thought of Stankovic and just all of the players and you through this and what you were trying to convey in America when you came here 56 years ago about this game. It's here. It's here for your grandchildren. Bravo for you and Pete and
No
everybody
question.
else who sold it here.
My biggest disappointment, obviously, England losing, but the way the Americans played, they didn't show up. They were overawed on the day. Very, very disappointed to see so many players go out there and not respond. I mean, but I'll tell you, I think part of the reason is the process of getting to the World Cup. You've got to go through different stages. But if you're the host nation, you automatically don't have to do that. You qualify. So all every other team around the world that qualified has gone through all these tough, difficult games, time zones, but the States didn't have to do that. I was super, super disappointed for the American people. And then I looked at some things up because it stuck with me for a number of days. And I thought to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put in the computer Mark Pulisic, right? Put his name in. I'm going to put net worth, right? 58.5 million net worth. Incredible. And I hate to say this because he's a great guy, wonderful person, didn't show up, you know? I think they let us down. At the start of the tournament, I told my kids, I told my friends, my golf buddies, here's my two teams, England and USA, for the final, because I thought they had everything to play for, you know?
Well, the other part of this that I'm leaving out that's a big part of this is your boy and your boy in the US team and years ago. Like, it's you brought your family here that became part of American soccer as well. And what MLS has been in this country and Messi played in our football stadium 8 weeks ago. You know, and the Miami thing as well, and Beckham bringing your game here in a way that you were a part of the NASL trying to bring Pele here and sell the game. It's worked. That's the amazing thing. It act and through all of it, the corruption of FIFA cannot be overlooked here. And
No.
the illness, when you mentioned buying World Cup qualifiers, I mean, what did Qatar and Russia do, right? Literally.
No, I mean it's been an overwhelming success, and I think Argentina will go on and win it. But everybody that I talk to is edging towards Spain. Then England play the day before; they play Saturday against France to see who finishes third or fourth. Now, when you finish first, second, third, or fourth, everybody's a winner, right? If England finish third or fourth, they're still a winner. You know, they had a great tournament, and on the day they got beat by the best team.
Kenny Cooper is here. We are sharing memories of soccer. I interrupted you on Stamenkovich, but when you came here, fell in love with the city and had a little bit of money, but never had a lot. And I know that because I took you out in Little Italy one night. I thought you were richer than you were. All of you people on TV. But trying to make a business work here in an indoor arena. And I know the real history of this was we lost the Colts, and that really was a lane. And that we've talked about that. But Ekman, my friend and partner Bruce Scherer, his father Red Scherer, and Ed Hale keeping it alive all these years later in
Absolutely.
Towson. But just you trying to sell the game in a city that ached for something like that, that has led to the Santino Carrantas and the younger players, and Pete, even you're getting to the Final Four over at UMBC, and all of the young players and the female players here that have gone on to thrive. And we had a goalkeeper from Bel Air keeping goal, for Team USA here. I mean, we've had Marylanders on the team, many Ryerson, many players, right?
Well,
So
a lot of people forget it's a great soccer city, Baltimore, Maryland. That area has always been a great area. I mean,
did you feel
excellent.
that when you got here in Highland Town and
Oh,
with immigrant kids?
absolutely, absolutely. I remember we when after we had the press conference that in the Civic Center. I remember during when I was talking about our goals, our plans, what we're going to be doing. I said, I promise you one thing. I promise you a championship in 4 years. I think it will take us 4 years. And it was 4 years to the day. We had a winning record and we won, what, three, four divisions. But yeah, I think, and then of course, like anything else, we peaked, the team peaked, and we have changes, the league changed a little bit. But you mentioned some very good names there. I mean, Ed Hales, I'm a big fan of Ed Hales. Really big fan. I think he's done so much for the city, for the state. I think he's done a tremendous
Is
amount.
that work?
I know that I think he just ran for governorship.
He did.
I spoke to Ed in that period of time, and I think he would have made a great governor because Ed is a tough guy, a very, very smart guy, but his heart and soul, he loves Baltimore, loves Baltimore. And then, Red Scher, what can you say? I mean, he had the horse, the Lomas ruler, right? That run the Preakness.
Preakness.
Yeah, and then we made some great friendships. Chris Thomas and you and I were all good friends. Ekman, we used to go on a road trip because he did the play-by-play, and he came to the airport with a small little leather bag with one pair of underwear and a shirt, right? A change of shirt. A character in his own mind. But he was Mr. Baltimore. We know this, right? I mean, he just loved Baltimore through and through. And but it's a big city, small town. And I'm very proud that my kids were born there, family, a lot of great years, almost 17 years. And I always remember saying to Irene, where do you want to go? And at the time, a mother wasn't doing well. She was very, very, very ill. I said, look, let's go back to Dallas. And it's turned out fine. The kids are Joe's here, Amanda's here, Kenny's here. So we've got our kids around us. Molly lives in Groesbeck, which is 2 hours away. Molly married a rancher, right? So she's got horses and cattle, and
You've lived a great life, man. You really
I
have. You've
have.
li you've lived like five different lives, haven't you?
I absolutely have. I have no complaints at all. God has been good to me. He's been good to my family, and my family, as a lot of people know, is a pretty spiritual family. We believe that everything comes from that. I'm not here to turn religious. I'm just saying that you have to have your beliefs. You have to have a place to call home. You have to have somebody you believe in. You have to have somebody that loves you, right? And I think that's what we've tried to do. And in return, we've done a lot for the game, but so have a lot of other people. People like Stankovic, Billy, God bless him, Billy Ronson, Keith Van Aaron, Scott Manning. Scott Manning had a sensational series in the championship against St. Louis. But I think I wish I could have won more championships because we went to five championship games and we only won one. That's a coaching disappointment for me. But no, I wouldn't change nothing in my life. I loved every minute of moving to America, greatest decision I've probably ever made.
Well, Jungle and Julie V had a little bit to do with it, right? I mean,
Oh yeah,
they were good
yeah.
teams.
Oh yeah. Ron Newman, God bless him, and Don Popovich. It's just yeah, I mean, the league was a tremendous league. I mean, when you think about the sellout crowds in the arena, yeah, I mean, some great games. We got national television. It was fun to build something and it's still alive and kicking. It's maybe not where it used to be, but you've got Ed Hale there that I think he'll keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And I think now that outdoor soccer is truly cemented here, it's you don't see people. A person said to me today at lunch, "The only thing I don't like about soccer is the players are flopping all over." I said, "Really? Well, let me tell you something. Have you been hit with no pads on? Like in American football, they wear pads and helmets. You're out there, the ball hits you, knocks your teeth out, breaks your nose, tackles, flying all over the place. And then they say, well, the players are rolling. I said, what do you think they're supposed to do? They just fall on the floor, face first, right? But no, wouldn't change nothing, my friend.
1966, what do you remember about that?
I'll tell you, I was 20 years of age. England played Germany at Wembley. They finished up winning the game 4-2 in extra time. Jeff Hurst scored an hat trick. Gordon Banks, the great Gordon Banks, was a goalkeeper. It was just it changed. It changed your way of life to see the biggest event and England win against an arch rival, Germany. I mean, you live off that for years. And I think America will live off this World Cup for years and years.
Where were you that day in 66?
I was in Blackpool, England, with my family, watched the game on television, black and white TV, I may say, right? No color, black and white TV, right? My dad was having a beer, right? And I was a little bit too young to drink at the time. So, but yeah,
But
it
you were a
was.
great soccer, you were a great goalie at the time. Like it was your vocation, it was your dream, right? To play.
I was blessed because I wasn't overly big for a goalkeeper. You know, I was 5'10", that type of thing.
You weren't a
But
candidate for the national team. Right. Okay.
And as you know, soccer in England, I mean, you've been over there, you've seen it. It's just a way of life, right? It's a way of life. But I'll share this with you and the listeners that when my kids, Kenny and Joe and Molly, took me to the game at Jerry World, I said, guys, I can't climb all those stairs and the elevator. And they said, hey, no problem, Dad. Joe went and come out with a wheelchair, right? And to tell you the truth, my ego was a little bit too much to sit. I said, I can't do it, guys. I don't know who I'm gonna bump into. And I said, no, I gotta do it because I won't see the game. Everybody was so frigging nice, right? I
You're
went.
loved. I love you. That everyone who listens to this piece loves you. You need to know that. That's
That's,
true.
and I appreciate all that, and I can definitely feel that, and for that I'll always be
I wouldn't
eternally.
fake it, would I?
No,
I
no.
wouldn't fake it.
No,
No.
not at all. But it's like, where do we go from here now? The problem with the World Cup, it's only every 4 years, and I hope
That's
I
what the suffering part is, right? In the back. So for me, I just got back from Argentina. You know, I'm Venezuelan. You know, I've always had a Messi thing for 20 years that if I could have gone to a game that somebody would offer me a ticket to say, I would want it at any point the last 20 years. Now, I went to a couple games in 06. I had a chance. I've had several chances to see Messi play, and I haven't. I screwed up that game down in Houston that he played a couple of years ago. So I had chances. There was a friendly where Argentina played Brazil at MetLife, and he scored like 3 goals.
Correct.
But I didn't. It was 100 degrees. I found excuses to not go. So I've never seen Messi play. I shouldn't even admit that. It's embarrassing. But they already won. I went to Argentina about 4 months ago. I was in Buenos Aires having a nice Malbec to honor the coach and you
You
and
like,
everyone else,
there you go.
and a big steak. Get that fish. Give me a steak. So. I went all over South America and I felt the game again, right? Colombia, I was in Medellin, I was in Bogota, it was all, and they played well too. I mean, they took it to the end. A lot of teams, I mean, the Cape Verde, just so many great stories in this particular cup. But France already won. Spain already won. Cool. I'm not a hater of anywhere. I want the best team to win. But there was something about me really wanting this for you and for all
Oh,
of England, and I coming that close for me, I'll root for Argentina on Sunday, and I don't really have a dog, and I'd like to see Messi be in that conversation with Pele in that way with another World Cup. But it is the suffering of waiting for you. I mean, I think that that's the thing, the finality of it, not just for you, but for Brazil, but you know, places where they really thought they could win. But Morocco made a nice run this year and really kind of had a team. You know, there were teams. Norway, look at the Norway, and no better story than Norway, right?
No, no question. No question. No, it's been the best World Cup I've seen. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've really my son Joe, he went to almost every game in Dallas, right? And if he's had a ticket to go down to Miami, he was on about going to New York, and you know, the ticket prices, as you know, were out of sight, out of sight. But no, it's just think that there's only what, two games left, right?
Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday. And I'm just pleased that I got to see it live and in person.
Do you like replay? The video,
Yeah.
the review?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I think it's so hard when a guy's getting kicked in the shin, taking a ball, and
Yeah.
what really happened, and we were always guessing. This is the first World Cup where I really feel like now they could go VAR and what happened with Argentina and taking the playback 60 seconds and saying there was a foul. And the fact that they don't have a clock, I mean, the things that Americans look at and say, why is the referee? I mean, there's some funky things in addition to the
Oh, there's
general
no
corruption of
question.
FIFA. But this is one thing, and I say this about baseball with the strike zone and the box. They've made the game a lot better. And you know, I'm a lifer baseball guy as an Aparicio here, right? They've made baseball better with television and review. And I feel like
Correct.
tennis got better when the lines were in
Yeah.
the and McEnroe didn't have to yell anymore. I think soccer's come a long way and they got it real close. And especially with the obvious dives and just trying to get a call right when you're in a World Cup quarter and there's a
Yeah.
billion people screaming and a yellow card, a red card, a foul, even possession is paramount and dramatic
Yeah.
and in front of the world. And I and as a sport, a fan of sport, I always want them to get the call right before, above and beyond anything, get the call right, make the game fair.
You're always in contact sports, you're always going to have a judgment call. And they come down to, the fans are looking at it, the referee sees one thing, and now VAR's come in. And VAR, I think, is one of the better things that's happened. Some people say, no, you got to do away with it. No, it's helped the game, right? I mean, I think this World Cup has not been as physical as other World Cups. There wasn't a lot of players sent off. The thing that I like is the fans from all over, even England, and English fans, British fans can be very unruly, but they were perfect. Gentlemen and ladies, when we sat here in 80,000 people in Jerry World, right? People, they could not be nicer.
It's a
It's just,
celebration of the game. It really is. I mean,
yes, it is a celebration of the game. Well
I
said.
saw a Sweden Trinidad game in 2006. It was the first World Cup game I ever saw in person. My wife and I and our friends Ken and Meg drove from Amsterdam into Dortmund, parked the car, went in, and there were Sweden people doing Swedish things, Trinidad people doing Trinidad things, people exchanging. And I have video of us right before the kick with the Czech Republic in the USA. And this is in 2006. We were in Gelsenkirchen in the Dome, and I had the video out, and Meg was exchanging pleasantries with the Czech fans and friends with the fans in the stands. And that's what I found 20 years later of the evidence of what it felt like to be there and bringing that back. And we got our ass kicked that day. But in a general sense, it's a beautiful game, and it sucked me in again. It really did.
Still is a beautiful game. Yeah, well said. Yep.
All right. Well, I love you. I got one last question for the road, other than your family, and I want you to give me a whole update on that. But this Washington Nationals thing, it has come to me that we're 21 years into having baseball in D.C. And I know you were part at one point about Northern Virginia and baseball. Do you have any story you want to tell there? Because the trajectory of this franchise and the baseball team that we're going to be talking about, trade deadline, under five, Adley Rutschman, All-Star game, all the things I've been doing this week. That baseball owned this city as you would know it, back in the day. And it was such an ownership of the region that your friend Collins had a little thing with Major League Baseball that really begat what the Nationals became, right?
Bill Collins, wonderful guy. He was a chairman, owner of Metrocall Communication Company, who I finished up when I retired working with. Bill is avid baseball fan. He had a minor league franchise in Greensboro, I believe, in Greensboro. And he was pushing and pushing, and I think it's part of the reason he didn't get it at the end of the day. He missed out. He had a great ownership group. I met them in Washington, D.C. They had the wherewithal, they had the passion for the game. Just to see where I enjoy baseball. If you say, am I an out-and-out avid fan? No, I don't watch every game, but I've learned the intricacies of baseball I appreciate it.
Being in
But
Baltimore at the time you were in Baltimore, my
oh,
goodness, right? Like
yeah.
it's the DNA. It begat me, Coops. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
my cousin came here from Venezuela and brought my father, and here I am
Yeah.
all these years
You
later, you know?
know, when I knew we made it in Baltimore, we hadn't been there very long. It was our first playoff game, and all the Orioles and the Colts came to the game. I remember meeting Johnny Unitas for the first time, Tom Maddie. Okay. It was just amazing how supportive they was. And we became good friends. I mean, Richard Sammis, Mr. Nobody, right? Town and Country Pontiac, one of our major sponsors, God bless him. I seem to be saying God bless him a lot because most of the people I'm talking about
I can
have.
bring him back to life, Richard. I can. Mr.
Yeah.
Nobody, Town and Country, Kenny, tell him something. Tell him how things used to be. Is that pretty
That
good? That's pretty good.
is pretty good. It's pretty good. So how let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How are
And
you
by the
doing?
way, he did a lot for leukemia long before my wife.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
a moment.
Yeah. And his precious daughter Diane, she passed away of leukemia. I was there at the time. I
Now he's
lived.
doing fundraising. Before
Yeah.
I knew what it was about.
There you go. There you go. And Richard and Dorothy, they did an awful lot for Leukemia Foundation. And so did the
Chestnut Ridge, right?
school.
Jimmy
Yeah.
Pappas, all those guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I knew I was going to cry in this segment. I predicted
No.
that.
So when you say our family's doing great, you know, thank God we've all been healthy, except growing old a little bit, which happens. I still enjoy my red wine, which my son Joe is a red wine drinker, so we enjoy a glass of red wine for any celebration, right? Even when England lost, we celebrated with a little glass of whiskey, which was really nice. I enjoyed that too.
A
But
wee bit, a wee dram, as they would say, right?
just a wee dram. But Baltimore was an important part of my life. It really was. It took me back to England because I looked at where I'm from, you know, close to Liverpool, Blackpool, and just very, very similar to the people. It's the people that made the city what it is, and it's still the same. I've got great friendships there. Our neighbors were Mike Gill, who had a company called Americom, big supporter of the team, you know. What used to happen is bizarre. You'd meet somebody as a coach, you meet an awful lot of people, right? And they always want to do something for you. Hey, let's meet for lunch. Let's go out for dinner. Let's go get some crab cakes, whatever. And they'd finish up becoming sponsors, right? I mean, that's how my relationship started with Richard
It
Sammis.
was a real community team. And, you know, so
Yeah.
were the Orioles, so were the Colts. It's not that anymore, and
Oh, that's
that's
a shame.
unfortunate, you know, it really is.
And that's a shame. That is a shame because, yeah, I mean, a team can do so much for a community. Just for, you know, the general attitude of people changes when, you know, when a team wins, oh, they're up for a week, whatever, right? When they
Coach, how
lose.
about this? I'll give you this. I've been doing this all my life, and you respect me enough to go to your son's house to get a Zoom because you're an old technology geek who's 81 at this point, and we have a story to tell, and everyone within earshot of my voice and this piece will know you're alive and well and our friendship. I haven't met the Orioles manager. I haven't met the last four Orioles managers. I haven't
Oh.
met the Ravens coach because they don't want to know people like me.
Oh no, if they're smart, they'd be the first people that meet. That would be it.
I can't tell you how poorly that I'm treated. I can't begin to tell you how poorly I'm treated as a citizen, as a business owner, as a media member. It's insane. It's insane. And all I think about are people like you and Gino Briaco and Barry Trotz and Phil Regan. Oh my, let me take a moment. Phil Regan passed away last week, former Orioles man. I mean, these are just some incredible people. My favorite people in life, Marvin Lewis, Brian Billick, yourself. Coaches and leaders of, I would say leaders of men because it was a game of men, but leaders of men, as David Modell would say.
I think, and that's the one thing I've tried to inspire with my kids is the fact of being good people, being good leaders, right? Aim high, you know, reach for the sun and you'll touch the moon, right? The attitude is everything in life. I think it's in my lifetime, I was, you know, self-educated. I didn't go to a big school, a small school. I had to go to work at 15 as a painter and a decorator, then trained for playing soccer in the evenings, and then I went on to become a professional. But it's about the people you meet, right? And Will Rogers used to have a good saying: I never met a person I didn't like, right? But it's again, it's about surrounding yourself with good people. I think, we have a close family. It's a close-knit family, thanks to Irene. She's been a great wife, great mother, great grandmother. But it's doing the right things, and making people feel good about themselves, because it costs nothing. It's free of charge to be nice, and we don't have that today. Now, when you talk about media relations, and you and I have always had a great relationship, as I had with Sandy McKee and John Hawkins and Chris Thomas, because we could always separate an interview from our friendship, right? I knew that you had a tough job to do, to we lose a tough game, and you could ask tough questions, and you'd have to come up with the answers. Have I made mistakes as a coach? Have I cost the Blaster game here and there? Hopefully not too many, but yeah, and that's why I feel a little bit for the England coach, because I've been right there. But the media relationship and the stars today, there's not a lot in common. There's I think there's a little bit of lack of respect both ways, and we wouldn't have made it without you guys, people like yourself, Charlie Ekman. We wouldn't have made it. You was in our corner, and we knew that. But to do that, we got to keep you in our corner,
Well, you had to be in Baltimore's corner to win me, right? Yeah, phonies, as the coach would say, ain't no phonies around here, Coops. We ain't putting up with that. You can go to sleep with them cherries. Coops, I promised you that I would sing for you here on the show and in honor of England. So I would say, na 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 na. Hey, Coops. All right, all right. Is that
You're
good?
my, that's brilliant,
Hey,
brilliant.
Coops, don't make it bad. Take a song, sad song, and make it
Make
better, all
it
right?
better. Yes,
I love
sir.
you. I love you, man.
Me
Be
too.
good.
Always take care of yourself, look after yourself, and God bless you, my friend.
Kenny Cooper, guest on this program. It doesn't get better than that, for crying out loud. We had Blast Extra back in the day. There is your England Three Lions Extra there for you, coming on the November 1st in the Baltimore Evening Sun. We're doing the Crab Cake Tour next Friday. I will try to withhold my emotions properly at Pizza John's in Essex over the cheesesteaks, and I might have some French fries with some gravy because I've been really good lately. Planet Fitness has been good for me. I'm leaving Coops to get on the hot yoga mat tonight. I'm feeling lean enough and mean enough, and in the aftermath of potentially Argentina winning another cup, I'm going to have some French fries and gravy. We'll see you at Pizza John's. All brought to you by our friends at Farnan and Dermer and our friends at GBMC, keeping it local and real with a great soccer conversation. Is this grandkids, Coops? Well, hold on. We got kids here. We got here.
Yeah, this is my little granddaughter.
Hi,
Yeah,
how are you? You're beautiful. Look at
this
that.
is Eleanor, and then Joe's over here.
And
Here's my son
you
Joe.
guys are on in Baltimore for all 10 of my listeners. Good to see you, man. Take care of
Hello,
yourselves. All
everyone.
right? You
Yes,
guys.
thanks, Master.
Man,
Thanks
the
for your
best
work.
thing of USA and England together, right? And Baltimore, all here. It's Baltimore
Yeah.
Positive. Stay with us.